Led her through the steps of a cotillion.
"I adore him," she whispered to Charlotte at night. Charlotte would wrinkle her nose. "I don't know, Julia. He's rather... well, he's not..."
It was hard to put into words. He was common. But how not to insult Julia? She thought a bit uneasily of Julia's passionate vows of love. She wouldn't do anything, would she? Of course, Mr. Lusky wouldn't. But Julia was so beautiful. She was like a peach, Charlotte thought, golden and sweet-smelling and soft-looking. Would Mr. Lusky? One of Charlotte's governesses had been stridently opinionated about men. "They want one thing, Lady Charlotte," she would say. "One thing, and don't you forget it and get yourself ruined now." Charlotte would nod, wondering what the one thing was. So she would whisper back,
"I don't think he's so handsome, Julia. Did you see that he has red veins in his cheeks?"
"No," said Julia.
"He doesn't."
"Yes, he does," said Charlotte.
"How do you notice so much?"
Julia said crossly. Finally, school drew to a close, and one by one the girls were taken off by titled relatives, or simply by maids. Taken off to be fitted and prinked and
tarted up,
Julia said. It was time to start a process that would end in settlements and dowries, balls and weddings. As the daughter of a duke, Charlotte was regarded enviously. Her coming out would be magnificent. Her elder sister Violetta had made her bow to society in a ballroom draped from top to bottom with white lilies. It was only Charlotte who didn't care much. She longed, if the truth be told, to stay in the white square room and paint another apple, or, if the market was particularly exciting that week, even a persimmon. She was good, really good. She knew she was, and Miss Frollop knew she was. But that was the end of it. She had to come out. Julia had to come out. There would be little time for persimmons. So when her mother picked her up at Lady Chatterton's School for Young Gentlewomen, Charlotte felt resigned, but not excited. Her mother arrived in full armour, in Charlotte's private opinion, in the ducal coach with four footmen behind. The Duchess was shy and quailed at the thought of an interview with the formidable Lady Sipperstine. Poor Mama, Charlotte thought. She must have been in a terrible tizzy. Finally, Charlotte and her mother were regally dismissed by Lady Sipperstine and escaped in the coach. The Duchess grinned in a most un-Duchess-like fashion, leaned back against the satin cushions and said,
"Thank goodness you're finished, Charlotte. I never have to see Lady Sipperstine again. We can be comfortable. How did the last picture go, darling? Oranges, wasn't it?"
For Charlotte's mamma was a devoted parent who lovingly kept track of her children's latest exploits, even if in Charlotte's case that had simply turned into a long progression of watercolour fruits.
"All right, Mama," Charlotte said. "I'll show you when we get home."
Charlotte frowned a bit. Her mamma treated all her work the same, with reverence, delight, and a non-critical eye.
"Good," said Adelaide comfortably. "I shall send it off immediately to Saxony. We're doing quite well on that hallway, dearest. Why, two or three more, and the walls will be full."
Charlotte grimaced. Her parents seemed to view her painting as a decorating tool, a kind of wallpaper. Each new painting was sent out to the best framer, Messrs. Saxony, framers to the crown, fitted into a gold frame with an appropriate mat chosen personally by Mr. Saxony Senior and solemnly delivered back to the ducal mansion. Then it was hung up in a long, long row of fruit and the odd vegetable that decorated a long, long hall in the east wing.
"Now, Charlotte," Adelaide said with resolution, "we must start planning for your come out immediately. Why?"